Good, what's good? We're back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. Today I'm gonna react to Dame Dash calling out Jay-Z. Before we do that though, we're gonna get to a word of one of our sponsors. And then we're gonna get right into it. So here we go.
Are you a musician looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pull promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
You heard a beautiful lady. You need online marketer promotions? Check us out, promopalace.biz, one-stop shop for all marketer promotions. And we also got the new little apparel brand merch on there for all you dog lovers and cat lovers. Check us out. Go to promopalace.biz. Click on merchandise. We got t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and much, much more. All right, so let's get into it.
Boy, MDM Peso, and that MDM stand for Million Dollar Minded. If you ain't know, if you're new to the channel, you already know what to do. Hit that subscribe button. So look, we always speculated through the years why Jay-Z and Dame Dash went their separate ways. They always hinted on it, but never spoke directly on the situation. And in this video, Dame Dash himself is about to end all speculation and tell you exactly what happened, exactly why they broke up. And he says some pretty strong comments about Jay-Z you don't want to miss. So look, shout out to the Diary of a CEO for making this dope interview happen. Let's get into it.
I really want to understand why Rockefeller won. And, you know,
it's because it was real.
Because it was real.
It was real. And I wasn't having it. Rocco, they weren't, no one wanted to sign. Think about how, this is the record industry. I took Jay-Z and shopped him to every single label and they all said no. I had to do it myself.
Why did they say no?
Either he was too old, he rapped too fast, they just didn't have it. So we were like, we'll do it ourselves. So that's the thing. Remember when I said before, people been telling me I'm not a superhero and I know I am, right? So if someone told you that you couldn't sell companies and do the things that you did, because to them it's superhero shit, it's a dream that they can't come true for them. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Like you've done things that people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, if you came with that idea to certain people, they'd say, give you 30 reasons why you can't do it. The reason why Rockefeller was good, the reason why I did what I had to do was because I knew how to have a clear dream without anyone obstructing it. I knew how to visualize winning. So if somebody told me, you can't do that because of this, get out my dream. Because that's not the last thought I'm going to have with my dream, because my mind is powerful. And whatever I see in my mind, I can make happen.
That whole stint of your career, the Rockefeller chapter, as it, do you have any regrets surrounding that when you look back and think, I wish I'd done that differently. I wish someone had told me this thing.
That's Rockefeller. That shit is art. Why would I want to mess with that? Look how it's impacted the world. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there'll be things, certain things that just because I know better, I do different. But who cares, man? I was like a kid.
What are those things? If you're giving me advice.
I wouldn't have been so generous with Jay, to Jay. It was more friendship for me and money for him. I always felt that, but I ignored it a little.
You regret ignoring that?
I don't regret it. I wouldn't have, the things that, I wouldn't have let certain things happen because I didn't think they could happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he would never do that. But he did things that I thought he would never do. So now I would be like, oh, he would do that. And I would make sure it didn't happen. So Rockefeller would probably still exist right now.
I made those mistakes too.
It is what it is. Actually, the life that I got after Rockefeller was so it's been so fulfilling and I've had so much fun. You know, I just opened up art galleries all over the world and made music with cool people. And I just been doing cool shit for the last 10 years.
I was compelled by what you said earlier when you said Rockefeller would still exist.
Yeah. Okay, you tell me what was the end of Rockefeller and why it happened.
From what I understand, and again, this is just what I've read, there was a dinner that took place between you and Jay where Jay wanted to sell Rockefeller to Def Jam.
No, that's not what happened.
Okay, well, there you go.
We had we met at dinner because I had heard from L.A. Reid that Jay was like, I'll take the job of president, but Damon and Biggs can't be down with Rockefeller. And L.A. Reid was like, yo, and I thought John McNeely had said this shit. I was like, Jay could have never said that. And we went and he did me like public place, the whole shit, and told me this shit. And I was just like, fucking serious?
Jay told you that.
He said, yeah, I want to be looked at as a businessman. And as long as you're around, I can't be looked at as a businessman. But I was like, what's that got to do with Rockefeller? So he was like, yo, y'all can have Rockefeller, but just give me my Reasonable Doubt masters back. I said, let me think about it. And I went and did a screening of The Woodsman. And I was like, yo, come with me to the screening so we can walk the carpet. He's like, nah, you're all dressed up. And I was like, this nigga never helps. But my point is, regardless of what, Rockefeller still existed. It's just I didn't run it. So why isn't there still a Rockefeller?
Rockefeller was sold, right?
It was sold, but they gave Jay to run Rockefeller. So Kanye was still there. Everybody was still there. Why is there no more Rockefeller?
You tell me.
Well, usually when a rapper runs other rappers, it doesn't happen. It doesn't work no more. It just means there was no Rockefeller unless I run it. That's it. So I would have continued to run
saying
it.
There's no Rockefeller. I would have put that.
You know, I would have dealt with it different.
And how, when you're going forward in like,
but I didn't want to run Rockefeller no more. I was done with that. I was at that time. I was already at Rockware. My office was not. I wasn't fucking with music no more.
And Rockware was making a lot of money, right?
Yeah, but it was just more. I was just inspired. I was just sick of being in that building and dealing with dumb shit. I was done with the music business. I wanted to do fashion. I was done with it. So I looked at it as an out. Like, out of obligation, I would have still ran Rockefeller because I gave my commitment. But because they was acting silly, I was like, yo, take it. I want to go anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But, you know.
How do you feel towards Jay-Z now?
I don't feel nothing.
No bad feelings, no good feelings?
No feelings. I deal with feelings and they would probably not be so complimentary.
He's obviously achieved, you know, tremendous success in all he's done in multi-industries and all that kind of thing. What is it about him that you think has put him in that position? His characteristics?
I don't want to talk about Jake.
You don't want to talk about him?
Not really. Like, you know, I know what Rockefeller was and how we did business. So it's hard to, I don't even try to figure that shit out. Period.
You have a really unique perspective in the sense that you
let me chime in. Basically, what he's saying is, when they formed Rockefeller, he looked at Rockefeller more as a building something successful amongst friends. Jay-Z wasn't really looking at it like that. Jay-Z was just looking at the opportunity, and he already had other visions and other plans. And that's the thing, when you bring people together on something, like, we all got to have the same vision and the same plan for something. I started a business out with a friend, and then he left me high and dry, and now it's just my business. But I have real good friends that I do business with. And like, let's take Dizzle, for example. Like, good friend and mentor owns 33%. And I always thought that Mike Dizzle, being the guy that came up with the drink recipe, was the guy that really started the business aspect of it. Well, that's not necessarily true. My friend and mentor and his friend, Olivio Harris, are the ones that really started the business. They kind of pushed Dizzle, you know, into like what it could be. They saw what it could be and it doesn't seem like he saw what it could be. And now that he sees what it can be, he's 100% on board. Actually, 1,000%. Everybody's 1,000% on board. I don't get paid to help Dizzle. Dizzle is not a sponsor that officially sponsors the podcast, but I look at the aspect of Dizzle is owned by a good friend, and I look at the aspect of how much money Dizzle could make. And that's the thing. Like, Dame Dash was probably looking at it like me. Like, oh, I'm doing business with a good friend, and we're doing something great and successful, making a shit ton of money. That was just icing on the cake. Jay-Z wasn't looking at it like that. Jay-Z was just looking at Dame Dash and Biggs as an opportunity for his means. And it's just like DMX came out and said that Jay-Z screwed over one of his albums. LL Cool J said the same thing, where he basically took the funds from, he took the funds, like, you know, the funds on a label broke down in quarters. You got the first quarter marketing funds, second quarter marketing funds. Well, he took the third and fourth and put them all in the third. He took two quarters worth of funds and put it all in one quarter for his album. And when he was president at Def Jam at one time. And I would argue that if that was like Eminem in that position, they would be screaming racism and white supremacy all day long. Because, like, he should not have been able to use his position of power being president to fundle the marketing dollars for all the artists into his joint. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, he signed Jeezy and Rick Ross while he was there. But you screwed over DMX, who was one of the biggest debut album artists ever, who literally dropped two albums in 1 year when he first came out, you know. And then the guy that kept the lights on for Def Jam for so many years, LL Cool J, you know. That's like, it'd be like the Golden State Warriors screwed over Steph Curry. Or when the Bulls screw over Michael Jordan towards the end. You know, it's like, you don't do this shit. This guy built the fucking empire. You know, he is the fucking emperor. You know, so I always felt like Jay-Z was always about self. He wasn't really a team player, and he showed that. I mean, as soon as he had the opportunity to become president and become a position of a power, he pushed out the guys that literally helped him get to where he was at. And you heard Dame Dash tell you, and that's facts, that labels didn't want to sign him. And the fact that they said he rapped too fast was crazy. You know, it was so crazy. And I think about it, it wasn't a lot of fast rapping guys back then. Twista, Busta, not too many, man. Most of them were more on the slow flow, you know. So the fast rap was like, the labels didn't really understand it then anyways. And it's still, Eminem does the fast rap now. You know, of course, he wasn't then at that time. You know, of course, Jay-Z came out before Eminem, but M was still trying. You know, M was on the underground circuit around that time, and he was more of a slow flow, metaphorical, controversial rapper. And then when he switched his style up, he became more fast rapping and whatnot. And Jordan Lucas, who was one of my favorite rappers, fast rapper. There's a lot of these cats. Nowadays, it's like, if you can't fast rap, how good are you really? How good are you really if you can't fast rap? And the idea that he was too old, labels have always been like that. They've always been like wanting to sign younger artists, sign these artists when they're teenagers. And plus, it's easier for them to jerk them over and get over on them. Like Lady Luck, good friend of mine, she literally signed when she was in high school, like 16, 17 years old. And, of course, the album never dropped because, you know, the jerk moment came where, like, I mean, she had to deal with family members. That's the thing. When you're that young, you got family members that have to step in and run the business, and they jerk you over. The label jerks you over. Labels definitely like younger artists. They're easier for them to jerk over and screw over. And Jay-Z and him basically just did what most artists do nowadays, by choice, is just to stay, just to do it themselves. You know, when you do it yourself, it's so much, it's got so much more value and meaning behind it. Like, if you make it independently and you're well known as a mainstream artist, I mean, you're making way more money than the mainstream artist anyways. Because you're not, you know, once major labels come in, man, everybody's getting their pieces and their cuts before you. You're the last one that gets paid when you're on a major label, you know. So, I think Dame Dash has all the reason to feel the way he feels. When he said, I don't want to talk about Jay-Z, I wouldn't want to talk about him either. If, if it was like me and two of my good friends, and, you know, one of them is like, yeah, you know, I don't want Paul and the other one part of this label no more. Yeah, I'd be on a fuck this cat for the rest of my life too. I don't want to talk about this cat and prop this cat up. And, you know, I don't want to talk about how great of a fucking businessman is. Who gives a fuck? I mean, he fucked me over, screwed me over. Why the fuck would I want to damn prop him up and compliment this motherfucker? Yeah, like the fact that you even, the guy asked that shit, like, he should fucking know better, man. Like, that Dame Dash doesn't want to, he's tired of talking about Jay-Z. He wants to talk about Dame Dash. Ask him things about Dame Dash. And that's the thing, if I had Dame Dash on, I would ask him Dame Dash things. I wouldn't ask him, you know, I already know what I need to know about Dame Dash and Jay-Z's situation. You know, Jay-Z felt, he said it himself. Dame Dash said the same thing that I've always assumed. Jay-Z felt like the next phase, that he couldn't do it with Dame Dash, that Dame Dash was probably going to fuck shit up more than he was going to help. Dame Dash definitely had a certain way of going about business, a temperament that wasn't going to necessarily work in the corporate, white corporate America world that Jay-Z is definitely in now. That white corporate America world definitely wasn't going to take to the way Dame Dash flipped out over the Def Jam jackets on the Rockefeller tour, or the way he confronted people about owning money. I think Lee Daniels, and the incident about the Rockefeller chain, and like, these things would not fly in that side of the business realm. And I think Jay-Z just felt like he was going to do more harm than good. Like, for the urban community, for hip-hop business and record label business and tour business and jewelry business, yeah, cussing everybody out all the time might work. It wasn't going to work in the corporate America that Jay-Z's in. It wasn't going to work moving into the NFL and being a sports agent and all these other businesses that Jay-Z's moved into. It wasn't going to work. You can't cuss everybody out in those realms of corporate America, man. So I always felt like Jay-Z felt like he was going to do more harm than good. And that's all Dame Dash is really saying, that he, Jay-Z saying, I can't be the businessman I want to be with you around cussing everybody out all the time. It wasn't just about Dame Dash being the businessman, you know, also, it was about, I'm telling you, it was about Dame Dash's temperament. his attitude towards handling business that he didn't like, that he felt like he was getting jerked over, or they were doing shit that was just disgraceful and shameful and just fucked up shit that he didn't like. We've seen the videos of Dame Dash flipping on people. So I just think that temperament was not going to work well in that aspect. But then again, he's opened the art galleries up now. So maybe that temperament only came out because of the shit he had to deal with for hip hop, like in the music business. The music business is not a pretty, pretty business. It's an ugly, ugly business. So maybe that's why he said, like, I was already out of music into fashion. And because music was apparently stressing him out probably more. It was probably more stressful, more aggravating, more irritating than clothing business. You definitely probably don't got to deal with a lot of shit in the clothing business that you got to deal with running a record label. So none of this is really shocking. It's not like we wasn't playing guessing games. We knew that the direction Jay-Z wanted to go in was not really the same direction as Dame Dash. And Jay-Z probably felt that he was going to do more harm than good because of his temperament. So once again, I'm thinking of tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I am